And not for reading palms or anything like that. It's palms, the tree that was waved before the Lord along with garments and praise that was raised to the Lord in great triumph as he entered into the city. He'd entered into the city many times before. We're coming to the conclusion of his 3.5 years of earthly ministry. There's just days left. And he enters the city triumphantly. Unfortunately, it was just a few days later that they compelled him to carry his cross out of the city. But that was in God's plan. That was in the fulfillment of what the Lord wanted to do. But this triumphant entry is recognized across Christendom. And a lot of ceremony and a lot of ritual that's attached with that. Some of you participated in those things in your attendance in other churches. But it is a prominent portion of Scripture. In fact, all four Gospels record the Lord entering into the city with much praise and worship, much celebration that was going on. Usually it's just the three, what we call the three synoptic Gospels, but they're synonymous in their reporting, and John is in a different realm, but he actually records it as well. You don't have to stand for the reading of these passages, but I do want to take time today to look at why it's so important. And so we'll read all four accounts. Matthew 21. And I'll just summarize or read the portions that have to do with the actual coming of the Lord into the city. And then some of the other things that are going on as well. Matthew 21, beginning at verse 8. A very great multitude. There's a big crowd that gathered to commemorate the Lord coming into the city. Spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Yes. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. And, of course, there's more that's involved in that passage, but we'll just hit the highlights here of each one. But the prophecies that would be fulfilled, the exclamations that would be uttered, the crowd that would be gathered, it indeed was a moment of triumph. Mark chapter 11. Again, there's just a little different perspective of each writer, but they include the aspects of celebration and lifting up the name of Jesus Christ. Mark chapter 11, beginning at verse 8, And many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches off the trees, obviously palm trees, and strawed them in the way. And they that went before and they that followed cried, saying, Hosanna! Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And that exclamation was uttered time and time again, and it echoed from building to building as they walked through the streets of Jerusalem. I don't know how long the procession was, but it must have been something to see. It must have been quite a procession and quite a parade, if you will, of how the Lord was demonstrating his greatness and his power and how the crowd were there to acknowledge who it is that was entering their city and exalting his great name. Luke chapter 19, beginning at verse 37. Again, it's very similar. Luke 19:37, when he was come nigh Even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, "Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, "Master, rebuke thy disciples." There's always going to be some critics standing around. Shouldn't do it this way. Shouldn't do it that way. Too loud, too quiet. And he answered and said unto them, "I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out." Praise God. And thank the Lord that there would be that demonstration of his power. Then John chapter 12, as I said, all four gospel writers include the account of the Lord coming into the city. John in particular writes about this event, and then he expands the account on Jesus' words. If you have a red letter edition, the rest of the chapters of John are full of red ink because he records meticulously the things that Jesus said. And the other gospel writers record some of the healing, some of the saying, some of the work that he did. But John in particular is the one who just expands a great deal on it. John 12 and verse 13, they took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, "Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord." And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written. And this is the prophecy from Zechariah 9 and 9. "Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, thy king cometh, sitting on an ass's colt." These things understood not his disciples at the first. But when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. They didn't quite grasp the significance of the moment, even though it was quite a celebration. The crowd probably could not be numbered. The multitude that was there in front of him, behind him, all around him, the procession must have been just amazing. But what strikes me is this prophecy of the colt. The colt had never been ridden. It was untried. It was untrained. But that's what the Lord said, "Get me that colt." And two of his disciples were dispatched to go to a village. Now, they didn't go to a stable. They didn't go to a corral. They didn't go to a place that sold animals. The Lord said, "You're going to find a colt tied. Bring him to me." You know, the master says, "Hey, what are you doing? Where are you taking my colt?" Just tell him, "The Lord hath need of him." And so it's almost like children. God bless these children that are here today. It's almost like children. The disciples look at one another and they nod and away they go. Childlike faith. Praise God. And they go into the city, into the village, and they're walking along looking to see, where's that colt that we're supposed to get? Sure enough, there it is. Tied up just like the Lord said. They go over, they begin to untie the bridle. The master comes out, says, "What are you doing? Where are you taking my colt? What's going on here?" And they simply answered like the Lord said, "The Lord hath need of him." Okay. You know, the simplicity of it is just amazing. And how the Lord would be able to direct them. Later on, he would say, "You're going to go into the town. You're going to see a man with a vase, with a pot. He's going to lead you to the place that we're going to have the Last Supper." You know, we're going to have the Passover. He didn't call it Last Supper. We call it the Last Supper. We're going to have the Passover. And they just went in, and they're looking for a man with a pitcher, and there he is, and said, "Hey, the master needs your room for the Passover." Okay? And then away they go. You know, being able to follow the Lord like that is what God is looking for. being able to step out just with simple direction and being able to say, all right, Lord, you're the master, you're the Lord, you're the King, you're the Almighty. That's what I'm going to do. Praise God. And it wasn't anything that was a great task, something that they had to figure out, you know, scratching their head, trying to determine, let's see now, how's this going to work? What are we going to do? They simply went looking for the colt. They went looking for the man with the pitcher, and it all came together the way God wanted it to. That's how God wants to lead you. That's how God wants to provide for you. Praise God. Sometimes we want to complicate things. We want to be theologians and figure it all out and come to all kinds of tests and things. And oh, God, help us to understand the word of the Lord is going to be fulfilled. God said his word is going to come to pass. It's not going to fail. It's not going to pass away. Hallelujah. That's what we can follow. That's what we can understand. That's what we can know to be real. Praise God. But get back to this untrained, untried colt. Why not the mother donkey? She's had experience carrying a load. She knows the purpose of the bridle. She knows that she doesn't need to get nervous when there's a crowd, when there's a noise, when there's flapping things in front of them. Yeah, with the safety of the Lord is a concern here. No, he said, bring the colt. And so I can imagine just a little bit, maybe not, but this is my imagination, that when the coats, the garments started to be settled on him, and the garments started to be waved in front, and the palm branches cut down, and they're waved all over the place, that some of the disciples got a little nervous. Oh, no. Hang on to that bridle real tight. Well, somebody walk alongside here. So just in case it starts to kick up a little bit, just in case it tries to run, you'll be able to grab a hold of it and our Lord will be safe. And he's not going to get bucked off. He's not going to get trampled. He's not going to get kicked or anything like that. Oh, my goodness. Don't wave that branch so close. Stay away from his nose. I don't know if there was concerns or not. But for some reason, Jesus said, bring that one. And you know, in that celebration, I've got to believe there were some kids who lined up. I believe that there were some kids who got excited about it as well. Remember the time that the disciples tried to shoo the kids away? And the Lord said, oh, no, you let them stay. Of such is the kingdom of God. You've got to have faith like a child. Not childish attitudes, not childish actions. No, he didn't say that. He said childlike faith. And so I've got to believe there were some kids who got right in there as well. And they're waving their little garments. And they've got little branches and they're waving them. And they're hollering to the top of their lungs, Hosanna! They may not even know what it means. It means salvation. It means, oh, save. It means he's the one that's got salvation. He's the one that's bringing salvation. Hallelujah. Joseph was told by the angel he will save his people from their sins. Call him Jesus. Hallelujah. And Peter later on would declare there is salvation and none other. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Oh, Hosanna. Hallelujah. Thank God for the power that the Lord would reveal. Thank God for the blessing he would bring forth. Thank God his name was given for the remission of sin. His name is given for the healing of our bodies. His name is given for deliverance from demons. His name is given for peace and shelter and comfort and security and all that salvation entails. Oh, clap your hands to the Lord. Thank you for that name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God. So children were involved because the Lord likes new. He prefers new, that new colt. Joseph and Mary were not parents before. They were new parents. They were young parents. But that's what the Lord chose. The disciples were untrained. They didn't have a pedigree or degrees of any sort that they could look back on, like maybe Nicodemus or Jairus or Gamaliel or any of the others who are named in the scripture who are learned in the law of Moses and the history of Hebrews and all of that. They were fishermen. One was a tax collector of all things. And they're just a variety. One of them said, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Oh, I believe he learned to add one letter to his statement. One letter that would change it from a question to an exclamation. One letter. Many good things come out of Nazareth because of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Many wonderful things he accomplished. Many miracles he performed. Praise God. Thank the Lord for his goodness and his power. And oh, I'm thankful for the newness that the Lord brings us into, a new birth born of the water and of the Spirit, baptized in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ and filled with the Spirit of God coming within. Thank God we are new creatures in Christ Jesus. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. Ludicrous for somebody to try to hold on to the old things. The Lord is trying to release your grip on those things that harm, those things that produce doubts, those things that drag you down. And he's trying to bring you into things that elevate, things that bring revelation, things that lift you up, things that bring you power. Hallelujah. All things are passed away. Let them pass away. All things are become new. Hallelujah. Thank God for the power of the Lord that brings that kind of newness. Hebrews writer said it's a new and living way. Not an old dead way. It's new and living. Praise God. And then Hebrews goes on and says, you ought to be teachers. The time has come, you ought to be teachers. But now, you have need that someone teach you again, which be the first principles and the oracles of God. What? You need to have your senses exercised to discern between good and evil. Oh, God, help us not to just settle in the newness, but to move on into maturity, into the things that God has for us, and the blessings that the Lord would desire to bring forth. Praise God. Continue on. Continue on. Oh, they were the crowd that was there, waving their branches, waving their garments, but they needed to move on to the day of Pentecost, into the upper room. They needed to move on to the temple to see the lame man get up and walk and leap and praise God. They needed to hear the messages that the apostles had to preach. They needed that. And continuing on. Praise God. Hosanna. Oh, save. Thank God that they would know beyond their imagination, beyond their dreams of how the Lord could save, how the Lord could heal, how the Lord could deliver. Amen. All Jerusalem was moved, the Bible says, and they cried out, "Who is this?" And just a few weeks later, Jerusalem would be moved again. And there would be those who would gather and say, "What meaneth this?" And Peter would be able to get up and preach and say, "This is that which is spoken of by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh." There's not another person in the Godhead that was going to be dispatched. It was the Lord saying, "My spirit, I will. Hallelujah. Thank God the Almighty comes and dwells within us. Thank God the one who is wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace is the one who comes and dwells within you. Thank God for that power that is fulfilled in us again and again. And it's a well that you can draw from with joy. Hallelujah. Drawing waters out of the wells of salvation because they cried out, Hosanna. Because they knew he was the one who would bring salvation. Because they recognized the name that is so powerful and so wonderful and able to bring about the results. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. The stones cry out. You know, I wonder stones in Jerusalem were picked up before, weren't they? Jesus teaching at the temple, and this poor woman in a bedraggled state thrust into his presence, interrupting the whole teaching session. This woman. And they made the accusation. They brought the judgment from Moses, stoning. But what do you say? I'm so glad we can let Jesus have his say. I'm so glad we can turn to him and say, what do you say, Lord? The doctors say this, but what do you say, Lord? Amen. The devil makes that claim, but what do you say, Lord? My past is trying to drag me down. My past is trying to hold me back. But what do you say, Lord? Hallelujah. Thank God that we can listen to what his words declare and know his power and his goodness to touch our lives in such a way that we are brought into the freedom, hallelujah, to worship his name. And I'm not going to let a stone take my place. I'm going to exalt his name. I'm going to lift him up. I'm going to praise him. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank God for that power. Thank God for that blessing. The crowd rejoiced. And they had reason to rejoice. He's coming in triumph. He's coming in power. He's coming in victory. Oh my, how many in that crowd had been healed? How many in that group had their blind eyes open and they're able to see? How many who were crippled are now walking along with the crowd and maybe skipping and maybe jumping and all excited. Hosanna! But what did Jesus do? Jesus wept. Now, the moment and the procession, the parade, the crowd, the multitude, the rejoicing, the worship, the cries of Hosanna, all of that was powerful. But Jesus could look ahead. Jesus could understand and recognize what was coming. He wasn't going to hold it back. He wasn't going to pass on the cup. As we know, he prayed in the garden, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. He knew that was what was coming. And he was not going to shirk. He wasn't going to step back. He wasn't going to reject it. But he wept, not for himself, but because of the city. If only you had known the time of your visitation. If only you had received. If only you'd understood. If only you had recognized. And then the judgment that would be pronounced on it. And the sad thing is, perhaps some in that crowd, now we don't know for sure, but some in that crowd that cried out, Hosanna. They cried out, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. They cried out about the King of Israel. And they gave praise and worship to the one who is upon that colt. The very same ones would, a few days later, cry out, crucify him. Crucify him. It's easy to go along with the crowd. It's easy to have someone else make your decisions for you. It's easy to just get caught up in the moment. But God, help us to be committed, no matter what the cost. God, help us to be those living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto God, which is just our reasonable service. And to move in that realm of obedience to his word, no matter what the cost. No matter what the price, I'm going to obey God. I'm going to follow him. I'm going to serve him according to his word and not move in that realm of having myself being directed by the crowd. Now, Paul talked about crucifying the flesh. Paul made it very clear. The world needs to be crucified to us and us to the world. Dead. No longer responding, no longer following, no longer being sensitive to those calls and those temptations, but to move into the realm where God is going to direct us and to help us. Because the next thing he did, and this is amazing, he's being loaded with accolades. He's being exalted. He's being praised. He's being recognized. And he goes into the temple and starts turning over tables and starts creating a ruckus and loudly exclaiming, "My house is to be a house of prayer." And he's so adamant, he's so strong, he's so zealous, which again is prophecy being fulfilled. But the change from the adoration to the judgment is so strong that it helps us to understand when you make up your mind, you don't let anything influence you away from the things of God. Away from the purpose of the Lord, away from being the temple of the Spirit. You're his temple now. Amen. And if there needs to be a cleansing, let God do the cleansing. If there needs to be a change, let God bring forth the changes. Amen. If there needs to be a focus on prayer and an emphasis on prayer, amen, be the temple. Be the place that God wants to abide, and let your house be a house of prayer. Praise God. Amen. And move in that realm of the Lord doing his work. Thank God we can be the dwelling place of his Spirit. The Word of God lets us know there's got to be a change that takes place. And there's five comparisons that are made in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 that helps us to understand, don't let light fellowship with darkness. Don't let Christ be with Belial. Brother Mike taught about Balaam and how there needs to be that recognition. I'm not going to be tricked. I'm not going to be fooled. I'm not going to let myself move into that realm of accepting what the Lord does not accept. No, I'm going to stay strong in what the Word of God says. And that's what the apostle is trying to get across to the Corinthians with those five comparisons. Don't let there be any agreement. Don't let there be any conformity and so on. You make sure it's separate, because there's one who has made the promise. I will be your God. You will be my sons and daughters. Hallelujah. Oh, thank God that there would be that power. And the apostle goes on to say, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves of all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. Let the temple be cleansed. Hallelujah. Let the temple be the dwelling place of Almighty God. Let the temple be the place where the Lord displays his power and his goodness. Let the temple be the place that his presence dwells. And we exalt him. We lift him up. We praise him. Hallelujah. And we know how great he is, because he is triumphant. He is triumphant. Now we know just a few days after that triumphal entry, with the palm waving and the garment waving and all of the ceremony that went on, there was going to be a crucifixion. It was coming. We commemorate that on Good Friday. We have a service of communion, like he said, this is my body, this is my blood. It's given for redemption, given for the salvation of many. Praise God. But oh, thank the Lord. I'm thankful that it's not just a ceremony to us. It is a celebration. I've been set free. Thank God. His many mighty works have been done in my life. His many mighty works have been done for my brothers and my sisters. His many mighty works is something that we exalt him in and know his power to be there. Hallelujah. And there is coming a day when we will step into that heavenly realm and know the power of the Lord, and we'll join in a celebration like no other. Hallelujah. And that celebration won't last for a day. It won't last for an afternoon. It will last forever. Hallelujah. And we'll join in with those who have been celebrating already a few years ahead of us. And we'll join in and give praise to Almighty God and lift him up. Hallelujah. And rejoice in the many mighty works that he's already done and continue on forever. Hallelujah. Not just a ceremony, not just waving things around, but rejoicing because his power had proved to be real. His blessing had proven to be powerful. He's been able to move us in the realms of victory and triumph like nothing else. Like nothing else. Glory to God. And 2 Corinthians 2 and 14 is a beautiful promise, a beautiful exclamation of what the prophet knew was taking place, even in an ungodly place like Corinth. But he declares it now. Thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph. Really? Even in Corinth? Really? Even in 2021, when things are going so backwards as far as the things of God are concerned and in His Word, and we've got questions in so many areas, and we've got situations being pressed and pushed upon those who have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and trying to change it.
Yeah.
Wow. He always causes us to triumph. You keep looking for that triumph. You keep holding on to that triumph. You keep looking back at what the Lord has already done. You keep testifying. Because the Lord brings triumph. The Lord helps you to overcome. The Lord builds your faith. The Lord continues to bless you and provide for you. He always causes us to triumph and maketh manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place. Hallelujah. Thank God the Lord will use you. Thank God the Lord will use your testimony. The Lord knows how powerful the work that He has done in your life. And somebody else needs to hear it. Praise God. Somebody else needs to know you can have victory over tobacco. Somebody else needs to know you can stop drinking. Somebody else needs to know you can stop doing drugs. Somebody else needs to know you can come back. You can make your way to the altar again. You can be renewed. Shaka Bahasaya. Oh, yes, someone needs to know that there is triumph that can come because of what the Lord desires to do in their life. You can make it. You can overcome. You can be victorious. You can know what it means to triumph. Triumph in every place at all times because of His power. Stand with me right now. Let's give praise to the Lord. Let's exalt Him. It's not a ceremony. It's a celebration. Hallelujah. Thank God for His goodness. Thank God for His power. Thank God for His might. Glory to the Lord, glory to the Lord, glory to the Lord, glory to the Lord. Praise God, praise God. Now I'm sure children were there. I'm sure children were joining right in. And they heard their parents cry out, Hosanna. So they began to cry out, Hosanna. They saw their parents wave garments. They took their little jackets off and began to wave them. Amen. Some of the trees, branches may have fallen off. They went over and picked up a small one, and they began to wave it before the Lord. And as He was passing by, hallelujah, because they were excited that He is the King. They were thrilled to be there, that the King of Israel was passing by. Maybe it was their mom, or maybe it was their dad that was healed. Maybe it was their brother that was made to walk again, and they were willing to join in that celebration and wave those garments and those branches and cry out, Hosanna. Praise God. Praise God. Now, here's what I've been feeling this right from the beginning. Here's what I'd like for us to do, and I'm not trying to embarrass anybody. I'm not trying to put you on the spot, but I want all the